Hey everybody, Fran Wozniak, your host of the IASIS podcast. Long awaited guest, all the way from the Pacific Island nation of Fiji, we have Aparosa. Aparosa, so glad to see you. I know I'm probably a day behind you, maybe. You're in the morning, I'm in the evening. Yesterday for you. Is that about right?
Yes. That's not about right.
Good. You're here, you're on this podcast, you have you're a digital forensics examiner. You work in some form of law enforcement. What is it you do for your country in Fiji?
Sure. Buluwinaka Ferran. First of all, thank you for inviting me onto your podcast. A great initiative that you've started with the association has started. And I'm grateful to be included in this, in one of your episodes. So, as I mentioned, my name is Aparosa Vuenekelo. I'm currently the Senior Digital Forensic Investigator with the Fiji Independent Commission Against Corruption, located in our headquarters in Suva.
Suva, that's the nation's capital, correct?
That's the nation's capital,
that's
yes.
Right. Wikipedia this morning. But excellent. You're the senior investigator. Do you do criminal investigations and digital examinations, or are you just on the computer side, or are you getting out in the streets and busting heads and breaking open crates at the docks type situation?
So it's actually the latter. We operate a hybrid lab here at the FICAC. So I'm involved from the seizures of devices from the field all the way to extraction, examination, and when it goes into court for trial.
Okay.
Taking the stand.
So from start to finish, once the electronic devices reach your jurisdiction, I guess you could say, correct?
Yes.
Just based on geography of the planet we live on and work on, my side of the world is there's nothing but land and countries. You guys are in the nothing but Pacific Ocean and of it. So I can imagine the corruption, because you guys are obviously a port, So the what level of corruption are we talking? Are we talking counterfeit goods, drugs, all of the above? What is organized crime, and also international organized crime, because everybody's going to want to have a piece of that action with the actual port that you present itself in the pathway from country to country, other side of the world to other side of the world.
Yeah, sure. So Fiji is regarded as a hub of the South Pacific. So we are sort of a transit point for most of the goods and services that flow from the West, from America, and then it flows from us towards Australia, New Zealand, and also towards the other smaller Pacific Island nations. So you would suspect that corruption is pretty rife in our country because of that. According to the corruption perception index, I think we're on about a midpoint. So there's a corruption perception index for each and every country. So we have improved a little bit, but there's much more work to be done. Our organization has just been established back in 2007.
Okay.
There was a bit of setbacks when it first was established, because it was established during a government that wasn't elected. There was a military coup that had happened back in 2007. We were established back then by that government. We are still operating now, and I can say that we are doing, we like to say that it's God's work. because
Absolutely.
we're fighting corruption. I believe, in my own opinion, that corruption is indeed a heinous crime, because it affects much of the population of Fiji. So our anti-corruption agency is actually a three-prong. We have the reactive arm, which is our investigation, and the prosecution, and we have our proactive arm, which is our awareness corruption prevention team, CP team.
What is the corruption prevention team? That's I know I we have number one and number two here in the States, but what's the corruption prevention team entail in doing?
So the corruption prevention team is actually our reactive arm. So they go out into the communities and conduct awareness sessions to the general public on types of corruption, on you know, because here in the Pacific, I can only speak for Fiji, but you know, there's that mentality of you know, accepting gifts and such, and
Yes,
giving gifts without it's ingrained in our culture. But if in terms of services being provided from public offices and such, that is a big no-no, because it, you know, it's a form of bribe.
bribery. We the United States has a history of bribes. A bit, well, not a history, probably still a current event here as well. We, which is also illegal in the United States. We do not like, bribery. No matter how, I know that sometimes they try to mask it under other categories, gifts, as you said earlier, or there will be endowments or whatever way you want to put it. But all they're doing is, we'll get you your bribe. It's just the matters of what avenue it's legally, what loophole we can use to get it to you. So I understand that. Are you, so then you are, I guess, internal. You're only worried about what's happening in Fiji. You're not external, international. It's all internal, investigating and prosecuting. I guess, Fiji only, correct?
So our main focus is on actually the public sector in Fiji. We don't touch the private sector. We mostly are concerned with the use of government funds. And in fact, we do work closely with our international counterparts when there's an international nexus involved in our cases. So there's a number of cases that we are currently running that involves foreign law enforcement. So we do in fact work with our foreign counterparts as well.
Digital forensics, you've been doing, how long have you been into this whole zeros and ones thing that we play in our jobs?
Okay, sure. I actually joined the commission back in 2014. Started off as a financial investigator. I have a bachelor's degrees in accounting, so it's a big swing from that to what I'm doing now. In 2018, our commissioner at the time, our deputy commissioner at the time, had seen that there was the great need for expertise in this field, because of what we have been experiencing in the field prior to that. There was a lot of seizures of electronic, of emails, of documents. So prior to the establishment of the unit, so myself and another colleague of mine, Mr. Frank Tora, we actually established the digital forensics unit here in FICAC. Prior to the establishment of the unit, the digital forensics work was actually handled by our IT team, our IT support team. So commissioner, deputy commissioner at the time saw that you know, our IT team had their main priorities handling the IT infrastructure for the commission, and they put second priority towards digital forensics work. That's why he had seen the need to establish the unit proper. And I was lucky enough to be chosen along with my colleague, Mr. Frank Torra, who is now currently the senior electronic evidence investigator or examiner with the Serious Fraud Office in New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you got started into you were a fraud investigator, and then you get into this realm, this discipline that we have, this little niche, whatever way however you want to say it. Training wise, what training were you able to receive to get your feet wet, get your foot in the door, and start moving forward in this career path?
Right. So back in 2016, I believe, is when we were first introduced to digital forensics training. So I think you might know Mr. Zeke Thackeray. He had come and conducted a few training sessions with us back in, I think, believe it's 2015, 16, where we were all introduced. A number of investigators were introduced to digital forensics, just first responder tactics introduced. Yeah, fair.
No, sorry. Did he come out to Fiji to teach this?
He's actually a New Zealander,
Oh, okay. All right.
and
All right.
he's actually big all over the world. He travels a lot. But Zeke, if you're gonna watch this, thank you very much for coming out and introducing us to this forensics. That's where I actually got interested in it, and I was lucky enough to be chosen in 2018. And following that, we actually had to. He gave us the recommendation to obtain our CFCE. So Zeke was
Gotcha. Yeah.
he's an ISIS member as well.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. I was wondering
Yeah.
because I was like, hey, we need to go to Fiji to teach a digital forensic class. And like, oh, no, boss, please don't make me go to Fiji for 2 weeks and teach classes. Oh no, the horror. Yeah. So that's good. That's good. Well, you got people. I mean, I'm not trying to convince IASIS to go to Fiji, but if my bosses at IASIS are listening, I mean, that sounds like a great opportunity. It is the hub of the Pacific. So, would you? It
It's
would.
just a stone's throw away from New Zealand.
Yeah,
We just
stones up.
conducted the BCFE back in Auckland, I think. Was it Auckland or Wellington?
Just last year, did you attend that
Just last
event?
year,
Did you
yes.
attend that event?
No. Just brings me to another point. So me and Frank were actually ISIS members. We obtained our CFC back in 2017
Okay.
during the first cycle. And just recently, an IT officer from the commission has also obtained his CFCE just on the recent cycle.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
That's
So
good.
he attended that the BCFE in New Zealand.
I understand that was a great success. We're doing
Yeah.
IASIS is doing one in Budapest in from the dates of October 6th to the 17th. And then of course Reno, Nevada, which is in the lower 48, as we call it, in continental United States. But I think the Australian
Love to
event
go
was
to
great.
Europe too.
Budapest is, I think that's the one. I think they did Prague. IASIS did Prague for a few years. Australia was the first time I believe we hit that side of the world. But expansion's happening, so that's the classes are coming. Have you ever been to the States anywhere?
I was in Florida twice, and in Sacramento. So the ones in Florida was for the BCFE and the
BCFE.
ICMDE. Yeah,
Yeah.
the CFE, I think, mobile device forensics, and also the CFCE in sorry, the BCFE in 2017.
When did you take the cell phone class?
It was the following year, 2018.
Okay, I taught that class for a couple of years. I think I would remember you if I,
Okay.
but this was after COVID. I was 21, 22, yeah, when I taught that class.
Oh, okay.
But they moved me over to the podcast host, so that's which is fine. It's a lot
You're
less a lot
doing a
le
good job.
a lot less stress than coming, doing that. Hats off to the current team. They're excelling in that job, and it's they're doing great. So good, you got to see. Also, Orlando, Florida. Florida is a state. Orlando is a city. That's not a representation of the full country. Obviously, we are pretty much our country's a continent. So don't, we have all styles of lifestyle, life, crops, herding, cities, everything. It's so when you get off in the Orlando airport, which is, and God bless the Orlando airport, they try to do what they can for you. But that is chaos, because that is nothing but American families going to Disney World, and it's absolutely, I wouldn't even call it controlled chaos. It's absolutely just chaos. But hey, that's what happens.
Actually, we actually toured the Disney park
Oh yeah, no, you have to.
with
Yeah.
with Mr. Brent Wheel.
Okay. Yeah,
He was
absolutely.
an
Well,
ISIS board member.
Board member, yeah, from New Zealand, of
Yeah,
course. Yeah, absolutely. He was
right.
a guest a couple of years ago on the podcast.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you've been doing that, and then how do you keep your do you do any current training? I know you just re-upped your CFCE. Do you any vendor-based training, webinars? Is there local training that you could just, I mean, obviously everything most of the time is going to be
Online.
virtual online, which is
Yeah.
fine. I mean,
Yeah.
that's the technology has allowed for that and it excels at it. So do you do all just constant updates and everything along those lines?
Yeah, sure. So because we actually utilize Cellebrite is our main forensic tool for mobile.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so we have been certified through CCO and CCPA
Yep.
for Cellebrite. And that is one of the courses that we continuously recertify on.
Yep.
So that's just the latest one that one of the latest courses that I've actually attended is for CCO and CCPA, because the ISIS listserv is actually a treasure trove of
It is.
information, and it gives me a lot of ideas of how to go about certain examinations, and I'm very grateful to be on that list.
The best part about ISIS, and I've said it, every other podcast I ever did, or anytime I do a talk or anything like that, the networking for what we do as professionals,
Yeah.
it's the networking and the unlimited resources you have from fellow members that helps you do your job. You can take a class, you could get a certification. That's awesome. That's great. But you're always going to have nobody should work in a solo environment in this job. So
That's true.
you need resources, you need allies, you need help. And there's you're never the first person to ask a question or have a problem. So you could always check back and see you're not the first person. How many phone updates happen a month? Depending on the time of year, you get a minimum one a month. When a new iOS comes out, you get three more in what they come out when September, October-ish. You're getting three blasted off right there. And guess what? Your tools aren't going to keep up with it. So you always and well,
Won't
there's always some sort of little hink up here or a little you got to do a little massaging, so to speak, over here. Well, you're not the first one to go through it. And if you are the first one to go through it, somebody's going to have the answer for you pretty soon. So that's the beauty that it's worth its minimal weight in membership dues. So.
It's interesting that you mentioned doing it solo, because I'm actually doing it solo here in my unit. So I'm the only digital forensics officer, and I handle the central division, which is the where HQ is, and also all forensic work for the Western Division and also the Northern Division. So we have three divisions, and I'm the sole digital forensic officer for serving all these divisions.
So, all right. So you said that. So now we got to get into your caseload, because I'm in a team of, we'll call it eight agents, eight examiners. So we share a caseload, and I know my caseload's Pretty good. I mean, it keeps me busy, keeps me employed. I'm not sitting around all day. So what is for a month or a week, how many phones are you getting in? How many computers? 'Cause I know you'd be BCFE, so you got the computer knowledge too. So
Yeah.
how are your bosses letting you have time to do this podcast?
Quite recently, in the past few years, there's been a very increase amount of requests for digital forensic assistance because the investigators have seen the need. Most of these are offenders because we deal with corruption in the public sector. Our offenders are high-ranking officials in government sectors, in state-owned entities. We're talking about CEOs, managers, and the sort. They have most of their work is handled online through their mobile phones, their emails, and their laptops, their iPads, and whatnot. So I can 100% tell you that there has been a request for digital forensics unit for either seizure, extraction, examination in about 70 to 80% of cases that we're currently investigating in the commission. So you can imagine the amount of work that I have at the unit handles. There has been I've been doing this solo for the past 2 years now, since the departure of my former colleague to SFO. There has been talks with up higher ups regarding extra manpower for my unit. At this point, it's still all talks, but I'm handling it as best I could.
Absolutely.
There's certain things that we've changed a bit in the unit, including how we store our data. Before, we used to store our data in physical hard drives for respective cases. So now we've actually requested for, and they've approved the procurement of a forensic server. So now I know it's very easy for me just to, when a request comes in, when I for data that has been extracted, say last year, for me just to go into the server and just quickly find the data and examine it for what the team requests. So prior to that, I had to dig into our records, try and locate the hard drive where the data was, and then take that hard drive out, connect it into a write blocker, put it up to the forensic machine, and then run the software and try and so there's certain things that we've changed throughout the few 3 years that has helped in try and speed up the process. But I always remind the investigators that you can't 100% rely on us for your case to go to court, or for the prosecutors to rely 100%. We are primarily a support unit. So we support the investigators, we support the prosecutors by providing them necessary digital evidence. Sometimes our cases, the data that we extract, then we find from these devices actually become primary evidence for some certain cases and can make and break the case. So in those cases, we try and provide the necessary support as efficiently as possible to the team.
That's amazing. You remember yesterday, and I even sent it in the email. I said that we're going to talk about, the common struggles, the challenges, and also the commonalities we have in our job, right? And that's all I sent you in our notes. I didn't say anything, and I'll just I have my notes here. The camera can't see it, but the commonalities, everything, the struggles, and what we have in common, because it's all over the world. It's amazing. It's true. No matter where you go. I op my lab, my shop, depending on what you want to call it, we work off a forensic server based on what you just said. Ease of to immediate recall, because prosecution always wants something revisited due to updates in technology, right? Which is fine. That's great. That's what we're here for. The fact that you said do not rely solely on our evidence, use it to support the evidence you have. That's something I always say. Okay, if you're looking for me for the smoking gun, sometimes I will be able to give you the smoking gun. Sometimes, yes. But
Sometimes.
criminals are getting smarter with the way they use electronics, digital electronics. So I couldn't have wrote that better, and all I had was, common struggles, challenges, and commonalities in digital forensics across the globe. That's what I have in my notes, and you nailed that one. That's good. That's good, and it's true. It's true. But yeah, the forensic server, having your own server as opposed to going to find, hard drives, like you'd have to dig into an evidence locker or anything like along those lines, so much better to it's so much ease of use. And just recalling that evidence, running it through again. Sure, there's process time with it, but it makes our job easier. And it makes our job easier because if somebody wants something revisited, they have a time crunch. They don't understand. Maybe it takes a day to load everything up, process it, run all the processes so you're able to look at it. Well, you're not fumbling around. You're getting right to it because
Right to it.
you're in a time crunch, and you got to manage people's expectations. But at the same time, they can only be managed so much before you got to negotiate. You got to do a lot of negotiations and managing at that point in time. So yeah, the forensic server, that's a good call. Being the one man shop, yeah, that's got to be. I imagine that would have to be quite a reckoning for it. Luckily, you are on the light the listserv. You do have updated trainings all the time. That sounds fantastic. I live in a warm climate state here in America, so people don't mind coming to South Carolina to teach a class, especially in November, December, and January and February. It might be weather related, I don't know, but our golf courses are open 12 months a year. So,
Is Florida close to South Carolina?
do what? I'm sorry.
Is Florida close to South Carolina?
One state. Oh no, two. Well, one state. So it's Florida, Georgia, and then South Carolina, and then North Carolina, Virginia, Washington, D.C. Depending on where you're going, Maryland, Delaware, and then New Jersey, New York. So that's going up the East Coast. But we have the same climate as as Florida. It's our
Yeah, because I was just about to mention the weather in Orlando was quite a bit similar to what we had here in Fiji. That was during the month that we went.
Are you
And
guys
so that I was wondering.
do you guys have oppressive humidity in Fiji, where it's
Yes,
just
so right now we are experiencing a lot of humidity right now.
yeah, oof, that's I can't do a thing of my hair in this humidity. That's a problem. Yeah, I'm surprised I'm not wearing a ball cap. But yeah, that's good. Let's see what else we have here. All right. So anything else you want to touch on before we explore the cultural life and everything of Fiji? Anything else you want to say about digital forensics, your job? This is your show. I'm merely just a vessel for you to talk for as long as you want to talk. Trust me. The world is listening. So,
Sure. So, as you can imagine, Fiji is a relatively small country, just about 900,000, probably hitting a million if we do a conduct another census. Digital forensic field here in Fiji, currently, I think there's only one other practitioner who's in the private sector. He's actually a digital forensic. I don't know what sort of work he does, but he is a digital forensics officer for the one of the big four accounting firms, Ernst & Young, I believe.
okay.
So apart from him, There's me and the recently certified IT officer, and also for the police. They just recently had a their cyber lab, just forensics lab, sorry, established recently. But I do understand that they have been conducting forensics work. So just based off of that, I think that they are most probably first responders that are trained to operate Cellebrite, so the UFED for PC and
Yeah,
PA
gotcha.
and whatnot. But for a dedicated forensic examiner and investigator as such, these officers are in the CID. They are the cybercrime officers, eh? But for a digital forensic officer, specifically conducting extraction examination and just nothing else, I'm not sure whether they do have it. Yeah, so that's probably three officers in Fiji that
Yeah.
conduct that are certified and just conduct digital forensics work and have that title as digital forensic examiner, investigator, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, so it's a very with limited number of people here in Fiji that practice this field, and I'm very fortunate to be one of them. Like I mentioned earlier, I believe this is God's work that we're doing,
Absolutely.
fighting corruption, crime in general. And I've loved working with law enforcement. I've been in law enforcement for the past 11 years now. I've never thought that I would be. Was in I had a bachelor's in accounting. Ever since joining university, I've always thought of myself working in a bank somewhere or one of these accounting firms. Never in my life would I have thought that I would be joining a law enforcement agency, but I'm lucky to be here. And there's also that for our field to grow here in Fiji, I think there's a need for there to be offerings in our universities for this specific field. I know for accounting, there's units, there's a course for forensic accounting, just specifically forensic accounting. But for digital forensics, there's none. There's IT. We have
Yeah.
cybercrime courses and all that sort. Suited to IT professionals, infrastructure in the IT professionals in the organizations who handle system administrators and whatnot. But courses for digital forensics specifically, there's none. So we live now in a day and age where every sorry for the Tom, Dick, and Harry has a mobile device in their hand, and every their lives are on it, and including these criminals. So if we were to be very inclined to reading corruption and prosecuting cases to its fullest, it's very necessary for there to be digital forensics expertise in all these various law enforcement, not only police or in anti-corruption agencies such as ours, our border officers as well, immigration officers as well. They deal with a lot of criminals trying to enter our borders as well and such. So it's just something I would like to share for in the context of Fiji,
Absolutely.
and I believe in other small Pacific Island countries as well. This is not including Australia and New Zealand because they are well established. I know for a fact that their digital forensic field is very much grown, and so if there's any anybody who will be watching this podcast, who is thinking of a field that would be fulfilling but also challenging, for them to think of digital forensics. If you're into IT, if you're into some sort of forensics work in general, think of digital forensics. Certifications, yeah, I believe, fair, and just correct me if I'm wrong here. In the States, is it necessary for an expert witness to in digital forensics to have a 4-year degree in digital forensics, or is certifications good enough?
It depends.
I'm asking your question right now.
No, please. Well, please. Nobody ever asks me questions on this thing, so I'm kind of happy to answer something. That's a state by state basis, and actually it goes down to the court circuits within the states. Not in this country. No, it is. It's not across the land. It depends on where you are in this country, what state you're in, and what district, court district you're in. If they want that or they require that, but it's not globally across the board. No.
That just reminded me. Would you know of any works underway in the digital forensics world for standardization of procedures and processes for digital forensics? Because to my understanding, I believe there's none at the moment. Would you?
Yes, there is that. What I call it SWEDGI, and I can't access the internet, but it's the SWEDGI.
Scientific work.
Yes, that's what I would. Yes, that's what okay. I would. That's the one I would. I'd be thinking of as far as across the board. Parameters.
I think we drew. SOP for the unit from SWEDGI and some other publications on how to work up a SOP for digital forensics lab. Just brings me to another point. Fiji has just been ratified under the Budapest Convention. Quite recently, under the European Council for cybercrime, to do with cybercrime. So that's how we just recently enacted our Cybercrime Act in 2021, I believe. So prior to that, all our procedures for seizing, extracting digital evidence was under our Crimes Act. So okay. there wasn't a standalone act for cybercrime and in saying so also for digital forensics, because the procedures for seizing, maintaining the evidence and also presenting the evidence is quite as detailed in the Cybercrime Act. So it is something that that is relatively new, and it's something that that has it has helped us in streamlining our process with regards to the seizures of digital evidence, but also opens up a whole new a space where the defense counsels can actually start picking up and poking at our cases in court. It is challenging.
Counterintelligence.
But it's great.
Yep.
So just a few things I wanted to share.
It's funny. When I went to college, which was, I was born in the 1900s. Okay. I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, I was not born in this any time in the 2000s. But when I went to college, they did not have, digital forensics as not even a college course. Now you could get a master's degree. You could probably get a PhD in digital forensics now, And everything I did, I'm like you, I was a, I got a basic 4-year bachelor's degree. I became a road cop, wore the uniform. Then I became a detective for a local county. And, I was an investigator. And then next thing I know, here I am, talking to Fiji, and talking about digital forensics. I've been doing digital forensics for 20 years now. I'm a criminal investigator and a digital forensic examiner. I wear both hats. Which I think helps me with both disciplines. But I'm in the same way. I as a child, I never thought I'd be, computers. All we knew was Atari and Nintendo, not so much, maybe a Commodore 64 computer or something like that. And then, here I am today. Here we all are today with it. So
I started off with the Nintendo 64.
absolutely. Oh yeah. Oh my goodness, the games. I wish I still had mine, but I don't know what happened to that thing. I think my dad threw it out because I got a PlayStation when I moved to college. So my Nintendo 64 was, I think, gone by the time I graduated college and packed all my stuff to leave. So, but good. All right. Oh yeah. So do you do any accounting work anymore? Is that college degree of yours? Are you cooking the books,
Whoa,
or
whoa.
what are you doing?
Funny you should ask. Because on top of my digital forensics work, I also handle a few other responsibilities, including intelligence, and I also assist the economic crime unit.
Okay.
And also I handle international cooperation. So work very closely with our investigators and our economic crime unit. So we've recently shifted our focus towards seizing of assets,
Yes,
going
yeah.
after proceeds of crime. We've have over the majority of our existence, the institution, been dealing been going after suspects and just getting custodial sentences. We've changed that view now with the establishment of the ECU, and I also assist them with that, including some financial analysis work whenever I'm required, and also giving some guidance to the investigators, because while I am a digital forensic investigator, I'm also still a financial investigator. So I'm still very much interested in that field on top of digital forensics as well.
So you wear two hats just like I do.
There's multiple hats.
Multiple, trust me, I know. Yeah, multiple. We all if yeah, everybody's got multiple hats, I guess, if you're doing your job right, I guess. So, all right, I want to talk about Fiji. All right. We talked earlier. You guys are known, as I found out today via the Google, you guys are the friendliest nation in the world.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. That's good for tourism.
That's as I stated, anyway, I would hope so. We weren't actually the friendliest nations once, because we were referred to as Cannibal Islands, I believe. Was it Cannibal Islands? We were cannibals. Our ancestors were cannibals. We used to
You
conduct
got
a lot of wars and.
you gotta break a couple eggs and make an omelet. I mean, that's water under the
Yeah,
bridge. I mean,
we're very thankful to the missionaries that came in and brought in Christianity, because if they hadn't come in, we wouldn't be the friendliest nation, and we would probably have eaten everyone who came to our shores up until now.
No, what would be funny though would be that if you still advertise yourselves as the world's friendliest nation and just nobody ever returned from there, and they're like, we don't know what happened to them. Everybody loves Fiji. They never come back. That would be that. That's a movie. That's mark that as a movie idea. Yeah, that's good. Alternate reality movie idea. That's good. actually, that's damn good. I'm gonna write that down. Yeah.
You probably can push it to your production team.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The best. Yeah. The friendliest nation on earth. Nobody ever returns. That's solid, in my opinion. But so I understand over 300 islands you guys have, right? Maybe about 110 or actually populated
Yeah,
ish. I did,
inhabited.
and then no, I'm 3,000 miles away, whatever, how many kilometers is that? 5,000.
So
So
there's three large islands. The two main large islands is the Viti Levu, where the capital is located. That's why where I'm on. And the island, the second largest, is Vanualevu, which is towards the north of Viti Levu.
how do you take little planes, ferries, boats,
Ferries and also planes.
planes? Okay.
Fiji Airways or Fiji
Do
Airways.
okay.
Have you ever been on Fiji Airways? Have you ever seen it at the airport?
No. I'll be looking now. It's like when you say something in your Instagram account, and next thing you know, you got 5,000 recommendations for a lemon butter recipe. So I'm sure I have my phone here in this room, so I'm sure I'm gonna get Fiji Airline ads on my Instagram account. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they also serve Fiji water on
Yes. So
it.
big thing. Fiji water is legit. You guys actually bottle it. You source it there, and it gets exported from Fiji. So that's not.
It's sourced from the western division of Viti Levu, the island that we're on, from Yangara.
Okay. Is it like volcano charcoal filtered, or
It's of that sort. Yeah,
Yeah, so that's
over
good.
millions of years. That's what's written on the bottle. So
That's good, 'cause
I was shocked at the price of a bottle when we went to Florida at the Royal Caribbean.
eight to twelve
For 1
dollars.
liter was, yes,
Yeah.
amazing. That's in US dollars.
Yeah,
It's
yeah, yeah.
relatively cheap, but we still don't buy it. We just drink out of the tap or other bottles of water that are quite cheaper.
Yeah, I was in Iceland. My wife and I took a trip to Iceland last year, and there's nothing but glaciers in Iceland, and they still sell bottled water, and people were still buying bottled water, but all their tap water, municipal water, is glacial water, and I don't understand why you would buy. America is obsessed with bottled water. But there's a lot of hide and deceit and guys in, they call it spring water or mountain water. It's really some guy like in the state of Wisconsin just filling up his bathtub with water, and then he's selling it. So it's good to know that Fiji water is legit. I can't afford it at $8 a liter, but I just
We'll
take,
just leave it to the celebrities.
celebrities. I just drink our municipal water, and I still have just the arms and legs I was born with.
Four
So,
fingers, ten toes.
yeah,
Four fingers,
four
let's say four
fingers. Yeah,
fingers,
whoa,
ten
what goes on
fingers.
in Fiji? Oh, what kind of rite of passage is that in Fiji? My goodness. So, food wise, what do you guys do? Let's say it's Christmas Eve, it's Christmas, it's Easter, or a holiday in Fiji. What is a traditional celebration meal? Maybe your wine, or beer, a cocktail, whichever.
The food that will most likely be eaten on Christmas Day would be what we call a lovo. It's food that's cooked. How should I put it? Under the earth.
Yeah, sure.
So
Yeah,
earth.
yeah,
Yeah.
yep, 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 yep.
So we just chicken, pork, whatever you need. Foil it up, marinate it. Sometimes we use the coconut leaves just to weave these chickens and dalo in. Dalo is taro. Have you eaten taro before? Yeah, or tapioca.
Oh yeah. Yes. Okay,
We
good.
have a lot of that. That's our main root crop here in Fiji, taro and tapioca. So we put all that into the earth oven. Cover it up, say for about an hour 30 minutes, and it comes out well and nice and cooked, juicy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's most of our functions involve lovo. So that's what is called Lovo.
Okay. All right. Lovo. In my
Lovo.
Lovo. In my accent, I'm sorry. I yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right, good. Perfect. Perfect. I
And our drink, if you've ever heard of Cava.
Kava, no. No, that's no, I have not.
Okay, so it comes from a peppermint, some sort of a peppermint plant. I think it's in so the root we actually pound, and it we drink that. It's brown in color. It tastes earthy, but it's an acquired taste. But it's should I say a beverage that
Yeah.
we in Fiji partake in for social gatherings or even just you yourself at home want to wind down a bit because it induces a bit of drowsiness. Yeah,
Is
but
that is it is it
it's
alcohol
okay.
is it an alcoholic
Yeah,
beverage
no,
or
there's no
no,
alcohol
oh,
at all.
it's just
It's
a
you can be we call if a person hasn't had too much, we call them dope.
gotcha.
They've doped, and if they still illegal, still legal to drive the vehicle and everything, but the driver could still be falling asleep. So, you
I gotcha. Gotcha on that one. Okay. Good. Is it true? Now, I heard these rumors that you guys have a $7 bill because of your rugby team. Is that a, is
yes,
that that and it's
that
it,
is
it
true.
and that's legal
I have
currency.
I actually have a funny story regarding that. So our national team won the first Olympic gold medal in sevens in 2016, 16, in 2016, and the Reserve Bank of Fiji actually published printed out those $7 notes. And in 2017, me and my former colleague Frank attended the BCFE in Florida. So me and him, we attended the social night after the, I believe it was the board,
Yeah, the
the
board,
member, the
the
members
member
meeting.
meeting.
There was a
Yep.
social night after
Yep.
that. So we are following the social night. We all went together with my colleague and a few other ISIS members went over to a pub that a sports bar that's just close by to the Royal Caribbean. I think you probably recall it if you've been recently.
I yeah.
We were there and there was people were drinking and all this. The party went on to the wee hours of the night, say about 12 o'clock, and we met up with an individual who wasn't part of the member the ISIS group. He was actually a owner of a restaurant of a chain of restaurants of such. So we got to talking with him and all this, and he was the one who was actually bringing all the drinks and all this,
Gotcha, yeah.
and it came to a point where he actually insisted on us traveling down to Miami. Was it a rock? Was it rock? Hard rock? Was it hard rock?
Hard Rock Cafe,
Hard Rock, yeah, Hard Rock Cafe, which was about a 7 hour drive away. So this was, mind you, this was 1 a.m. in the morning. 7 hour drive to Hard Rock Cafe. He called up a taxi, what you call it, a Uber, one of his Uber rides, and asked him if he could come and pick us up and take us down to Hard Rock Cafe. And the guy actually swore back at him, saying, "Are you crazy? It's 1 a.m. and it's a 7 hour drive. You expect me to come and take you guys there?" And then he told us what the driver had told him. And my friend, he actually had a $7 note on him. So, he was the one who's really, excited about going down to Hard Rock.
You sure?
So he pulled out the $7 note and he, it was sort of, how should I say, probably a bribe even to try and
It's not a bribe.
entice
It's not a bribe in that form. No, not by this country.
just to
No,
try
but
and
yeah.
influence the guy just to try harder to get a transport to take us with that $7. See, I'll It's $7. It's the only $7 note in this in the world right now. It's got, and we were he tried to use that, but you know, it didn't work out because everyone was already gone by then.
Gone by then. Yeah, that's a good story. I think, you know, we have the, I don't have any in front of me, you know, the police challenge coins. Everybody always trades coins. And I think if heck, you could just give out those $7 bills, because I don't know of anybody else that has a $7. We have a $2 bill here. Canada has a $2 bill. We have, I think we have a $2 coin. We have $2 bills too. But the $2 bills are used for a very specific reason in this country. But then yeah, a $7 note, that's something. That's an awesome
So those
little
notes
thing.
are currently in limited circulation right now because I think people have been keeping the notes. I for one am one who has kept the
Oh
$7
yeah, I would,
notes.
yeah, sure.
I keep it at home because you never know down the line it might cost a few bucks.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, it's hey, that's your savings account. You could do whatever you, it's legal tender. You could hoard as much of that as you want, as long as you know, obviously, you know, rightfully got it. So awesome. Awesome. Anything else? Anything else before we close out? This podcast has been, well, no, it hasn't exceeded my expectations. It went right with my expectations, because I knew this was going to be a great interview. Anything else you want to do before we close out? And I know you are in tomorrow. I'm in yesterday. So and I know you probably got a work day ahead of you.
Yeah, so tomorrow's Friday. Just nice.
Oh my God. Yeah. Jeez. I'm still in Wednesday, and you're already talking about tomorrow being Friday. That's crazy. Yeah,
The weekend's already started for me.
that's good. Your weekend started on Friday? Oh.
It's just an easygoing day for us here in Fiji.
I hear that. I wish that was the case here in America, but all right, Aparota. It was a pleasure to have you on. Any closing remarks? Final closing remarks? The floor, the world is yours.
Sure. I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank you, Farron, for inviting me onto your podcast and also to the ISIS Association as a whole. Very fortunate to be part of this volunteer-run association. For those that don't know, it is 100% volunteer work that is done by all the staff, including Farron here. We're not paid for they're not paid for this, and I thank them very much for the hard work that they've done to get this association to where it is right now. I would suggest to anyone that is looking to get certified in digital forensics to get certified via IASIS, whether it be the CFCE, the ICMDE. There's a number of courses that they push out, certifications, and you also gain access to the listserv, like we had mentioned. Very resourceful tool to be part of. Very helpful, and I must thank the association wholeheartedly for all that they have done. And thank you again, Farron, for having me on.
No, absolutely. No, the pleasure is all on this side of the world. Trust me. Trust me. And you're right. It is an all volunteer organization. And ISIS has one paid employee, our books lady, the lady who controls all the finance.
Debbie.
Debbie. Yes, absolutely. That's it.
Debbie, right.
Everybody else is a full-time
Everyone
volunteer.
knows
There's
Debbie.
absolutely no financial compensation whatsoever. Saying that, hey, look on coming into the staff. You know, become a staff member. See if we could.
Oh, just before I end there, I was coaching for, I did coach a CFCE candidate just
Okay, you
recently.
coach,
That's
yeah.
that's where I have, I think I'll draw the line in terms of coaching, because
Hey,
in terms of staffing, it is.
if you want to come down to Orlando once a year, every April slash May, I think you'd be a good fit. But that's that depends on you. I'm glad you're on the staff. It was great talking to you. I knew we were going to nail the common challenges and commonalities that we have in this line of work. I knew that was going to happen. Whenever I talk to anybody in this world, it's always the case, and that's crazy. I mean, you are in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I'm in the middle of one of the biggest rocks that we have here on this planet, and we have the same exact problems, triumphs, work, and I guess problems, and then the problems that cause us to have our jobs. That's human nature, no matter what. So,
So we're thankful for those problems.
yeah, it does it. It puts food on my table. I don't want to make it sound like that's in the wrong way, but it does put food on my table. So, but our Alparoso, thank you, Alparoso, everybody, Fiji, and what anti-corruption unit, correct? Say that.
Yes.
Yes, perfect, perfect.
Fiji Independent Commission Against Corruption.
There we go. See, I
Say
knew
no to
it.
corruption, guys.
Yeah, absolutely, always, and no to drugs too. So, all right, guys, I'm Ferran Wozniak, I'm our podcast host. We'll see you on the next episode. All right. Take care.